Coming to you live from the corner of Dream Street and Guffaw Avenue, it's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. Now jaywalking his way into your heart, here's Nate.
Hey, everybody's back this week.
What's up?
Hey.
We are tanned and Bahamut.
Bahamut?
I don't know. Tan is also not happening, but you know, it's fun to pretend.
We'll get, it's radio. No one knows.
Yeah.
We'll, you can be tan.
We'll get fully into your trip to the tropics for Friday's show.
Oh.
Because we got a guest coming up today. We'll be talking in a few minutes, hopefully, to Sean Greenwood. He's from Ben & Jerry's. He's the Grand Poobah Public Relations. We'll talk ice cream, frozen yogurt, and corporate responsibility.
Ooh.
Plus, we're going to talk a little bit about the situation in Cleveland. Is it okay to look at what people did in the past, or does one good does one good deed make them awesome forever? Lindsay Lohan back in rehab, and a poor Australian DJ. She had one last day on the air, and she did not make it to the end of her shift. We'll get to that before the end of the show today. So, how is everybody?
Good.
Awesome.
Good. I'm cool. I'm great.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we've solved Christiana's mic issues.
I'm talking into it now.
Yeah. Well, we tried last week with...
I still was doing it wrong.
Well, part of the problem was I gave you the shock mount for the microphone, which is a little heavier and a little bulkier, and I did away with that, so it's a much more streamlined look for you there.
I believe it, but I have no idea what's actually different.
Yeah. See,
But that's okay.
Yeah. See, this thing
it's
here...
It's an object right in front of my face. You'd think it would be easy to talk into it.
Oh, you have a mosquito screen now in front of
me. I know. Now it's hard for me to like see my phone to follow along to things. But
that is a pop filter because the pop filter is
pop, pop.
$11.
Pop, pop.
Magnitude.
A windscreen is $22.
Ooh.
So, yeah. That's why I bought a pop filter instead of a windscreen.
Nice.
Pop, and I can't stop saying that.
No, you shouldn't.
But it keeps the popping peas and the sibilants down to a minimum during the show, which is an important thing. And I was hoping not to do this on the show, but I'm going to try to call Sean back again live on the air. Let's see how this goes. It's ringing.
We've reached his
voicemail. All right, well, we'll call him back in a little bit.
These crank calls, like from Baskin and Robbins? Hey, your ice cream sucks. That'd be hilarious.
Well, apparently Haagen-Dazs is having a free scoop day, which is a ripoff of Ben & Jerry's.
No one ever gave away free ice cream until Ben & Jerry's did. Yeah,
well, the National Scoop Day, that's definitely their thing.
Yeah.
They scoop the scoop day?
Oh.
Those bastards.
So we got some bad news. The In Your Facebook improv show was canceled. So you should have come to the last one because it was the last one.
Yeah, and you would have been there to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would have known. Oh, I get it. No, I'm just kidding. I shoot myself in the foot.
These things happen.
They do.
Things get canceled all the time.
It's finite. It's a finite world.
Mm-hmm. Especially in entertainment. Matthew Perry, for instance, his show Go On was canceled.
Ironically.
And...
Ah.
Thankfully, no one did to us what this chowderhead did to Matthew Perry interviewing him at the LA Kings game. Take a listen.
You know, for a guy like you, big news today. And congratulations is in order.
Oh, thank you. You're talking about my show getting canceled. Yes. It was a sort of a sad day because of the people. And I'm going to miss them. Oh, thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. But... You know, this show that I was doing was really getting in the way of some Kings games, so I'm okay.
All right, so it's a double-edged sword. Congratulations.
What? Did he just see something and come across the wire that had Matthew Perry and the name of show in it and assume that it must be something good because he has no idea what's on competing networks?
I have no idea. What weird. Does bother me about that clip, apart from the reporter being completely clueless, is there's a douchebag in a Philadelphia Flyers jersey behind him holding up his chest. The Flyers play in a different conference, are not playing in the game, and I don't believe are in the playoffs. So, hey, douchebag in the Flyers jersey, leave your Flyers jersey at home and don't go out chest popping, you effing douchebag.
Pop, pop. Can't stop. Can't stop it.
Once you pop.
You can stop.
So true.
All right, let's try this again. I love letting things fly on the show. We'll give it another try.
Not
here.
Farts, though.
Sure. No.
Okay, this is Häagen-Dazs. You know, to buy your ice cream. Yeah.
I feel like this is the old days before everyone had caller ID. Remember when, like, I don't know, when I was a teenager and you really wanted to talk to a boy and you call and no one answers, you hang up before the answering machine and you call back and call back and call. Did anyone else do that?
Or? I never called boys.
It's okay. Yeah, it's okay. I did too.
Yeah.
Or the like, my phone wasn't working. Did you try to call?
Right.
I thought I missed a call. And was that you? Can't do that now.
Well, actually, you can. It's better. You just go, oh, I must have been out of service area.
Butt dialed. Butt dialed you. That was a total accident. Yeah.
My butt misses you.
All right,
it was a Freudian sit.
So we'll move ahead. We'll move ahead with the show, and we'll try Sean again in a few minutes.
Fantastic.
The Abercrombie and Fitch CEO has explained why he hates fat chicks.
Oh, can I just say this story is personally disturbing to me on several levels. The most obvious of which being I don't fit Abercrombie clothes anymore. But the other one is that this guy he's an alumnus of the same college
yes,
that I am. And so he's such a dick.
So anyone who's been to Abercrombie and Fitch in the past few years has probably noticed they don't carry XL or 2XL sizes in women's clothing because they don't want overweight women wearing their brand.
Question, do they do for men?
They do.
Okay.
And there's a reason for that.
Right.
According to the popular teen clothing retailer, fat chicks will never be part of the quote in crowd. They take a big risk with the tactic because two of their biggest competitors, H&M and American Eagle, both offer 2XL sizes for men and women. The largest women's pants available at Abercrombie are size 10. H&M goes up to 16. American Eagle goes even farther to 18. Abercrombie's attitude toward plus-size women derives from their CEO, Mike Jeffries, and he does not want larger people shopping in his store. He wants thin and beautiful people. He doesn't want his core customers to see who... Core customers
to see fat.
To see people who aren't as hot as them wearing his clothing.
Oh, boy.
People who wear his clothing should feel like they're one of the, and this is in quote, cool kids. And this is from an author who is writing about this.
I'm in with the in crowd.
Apparently, the only reason Abercrombie offers XL and 2XL in men's sizes is to appeal to large athletes.
Uh-oh.
In a 2006 interview with Salon, go back 7 years. Jeez. Jeffries confirmed that the communication between hot people is his primary marketing tactic. He says, it's almost everything. That's why we hire good-looking people in our stores, because good-looking people attract other good-looking people, and we want to market to cool, good-looking people. We don't market to anyone other than that. So
an ugly person who's in good shape comes into Abercrombie & Fitch, are they, like, steered out the store or something?
Well,
they're not allowed to work there. They're probably allowed to shop there.
No, I'm saying, like, I want to buy a shirt. Oh, you're too ugly for this shirt. Maybe you should go to the Gap or something.
Well, listen, if you've got a rockin' bod, I'm sure they'll let you wear the clothes because people will be looking at the clothes on your rockin' bod. They won't go up to your messed up soup cooler.
Oh, okay.
How do you like that for mixing new and old language?
Right.
Way to go, daddy-o.
So,
he's such a freak, though. You look at his picture, he is injected with everything possible. He's kind of an old dude.
He is. He's 68 years old, soon to be 69 years old.
But he seems to be, I wonder if he's experiencing some kind of like break right now, because he's been in the news a lot lately for saying weird shit or doing weird shit. Like the details for when he takes the corporate jet or rents a corporate jet on who's allowed to wait on him. They have to be dudes of a certain size and physique and wear flip-flops and like pop their collars, and it's all weird.
He is a very strange gay man who has very specific wants and desires when he's on the private jet and when he goes into an Abercrombie store. He is a graduate of Claremont McKenna School.
Boom. College, jerk.
College, sorry.
Jesus.
School.
And Columbia Business School.
So blame it on Columbia. I blame it on, I mean, New York's weird, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
He is also a Republican. So
that's not surprising.
Apparently a log cabin Republican.
Yeah, I guess so. Otherwise.
So, yeah, but there.
I don't believe he's confirmed his sexuality. I don't know why you're putting him in a box.
Going to go there with the dudes with the popped collars and they're dressed a specific way on the plane. I don't want to go into it here, but there's not a straight man alive who's going to insist he be surrounded by dudes dressed in that manner. It's just not going to happen. Pat Robertson, though, might have some hope for him because On the 700 Club, he said a gay person can change their sexual orientation just as, quote, a murderer can change, a rapist can change, a thief can change.
Aww.
Let's take a listen
thief
to...
Thief of my heart.
Let's take a listen to Pat Robertson explaining how...
Must we?
...gays can make it better.
To say that a homosexual can change, that somehow is a hate crime. It is a hate crime to say somebody can change their sexual preference.
That's a hate crime?
That's a hate crime. That's what's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen.
Talking about
we ought to mark
therapy,
that
right?
down
Conversion
and
therapy.
Fight for freedom because...
He's not even talking about therapy. He's just putting out the fact that he says gay people can change and people are saying that he's homophobic.
And then
that man's freedom of speech is being taken away, and the idea that anybody who has ministered to thousands of people, as undoubtedly he has and others have in that church in Ecuador, know very well that the power of God can change people's orientation.
Power of Christ compels you.
A murderer can change. A rapist can change. A thief can change. That's what the gospel is all about. It's not a hate crime.
It's not a hate crime. He does have a point. To just say out loud that someone can change is not, in fact, a hate crime.
I believe this is what is called a straw man argument.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I'm not disputing that. I'm not saying he's right about what he's saying. I'm just saying that a lot of people like to throw stuff at a wall and go, oh, you said this, so you're this, and it's not necessarily true.
Right.
Exactly. But wow, what a weird sort of logic. You know, if you're looking to make your argument, don't go to murderer and thief. How about you go to, I don't know, he was a confirmed carnivore and he decided to be a vegetarian and he changed. How about taking two things that are kind of positive and do it that way? If you're going to do that, or, you know, this person was a vegan. They were a vegan for years and years, and then they decided to make a change, and now they own a barbecue joint and eat nothing but flesh.
Nate, that's a hate crime. Stop.
So, yeah, that's just what he's saying. But yeah, Pat Robertson is always good. I love listening to his voice, though, because it's deteriorating as he gets older. And if you've ever seen him on the 700 Club, he starts to pray, and the harder he prays, the tighter he closes his eyes. As though if he does that, he's going to somehow get through to God. It's going to push that thought and that prayer right up to heaven. It's just funny. Anyway, mm-hmm. Pat Robertson.
Mm-hmm. I believe a homophobe can change.
It's true. They can change, too. So the Maxim Hot 100 is out. I know this is going to say everybody on about the list.
Who's number one?
Did I make it this year?
The number one... disproves the entire list.
It's a very weird list. Now, here's the game we're going to play.
Okay.
Oh.
The game we're going to play, I'm going to mention their name, and you tell me if you've heard of them.
Oh, okay.
The answer is no.
So let's...
Ted.
Number 100 is Desi Mitchelson.
Nope.
Ashley Skye at 99.
Nope.
98, Rebecca Mader.
Nope.
That sounds familiar, but I don't know why.
You're thinking of Mater from
name
Cars?
My name is Rebecca.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Daniela Alonso at 97.
Nope.
Okay, no. You've probably heard of 96, Kelly Pickler.
Pickler.
I have, but she cut her hair super short, which, I mean, doesn't mean that you can't be hot anymore, but she's like a buzz cut.
Well, she's
now.
Like 98 hot. She's not really hot.
96.
Just kidding. Whatever.
95 is Zooey Deschanel.
Yes.
Awkward hot.
Awkward hot.
Dawn Oliveri is 97.
Nope.
Lindsay Torres is 93.
Nope.
Kenda Perez.
Nope.
Allison Williams.
Yes.
Maybe.
Girls.
She's from Girls.
Daughter of Brian Williams. So if you're hot for Brian Williams.
You know what's really weird is she reminds me a little bit of you, Christiana.
Me?
Yeah.
Allison Williams?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. There's a something about her that
she's
that
pretty hot. So
that reminds.
I'll take it. I'll allow it.
I
think a lot of it is the way she speaks as much as anything. So
you talk like
as long
a
as it's not her character. No.
In her, yeah, her character just has sex fully clothed all the time. It's weird.
Who doesn't? Wait, that's not normal.
Levin Ramblin?
No. Nope.
Yes, you would recognize her if you saw her. If you watch, well, I don't know if you guys watch. Nope. She's done a lot of ABC shows. Like her name's not familiar, but she's one of the girls. You're like, you were in a bunch of stuff.
April Rose.
Nope.
That's a porn star.
She was in Hunger Games. Who did she? Oh, she was one of the...
Yes, yeah, she was one of the tributes. Oh, sorry.
Elizabeth Harnels.
Nope.
Katie Cassidy.
Nope.
Roski Diaz.
Nope.
Here's one you might have. Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah, yeah. Of course. Oh, she's cute. On my favorite show.
Alice
Rye, Sullen Hot.
No.
Kat Dennings at 83.
Yeah, yep. She's on that Two Broke Girls show.
Yes, she
right?
is.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is.
Ashley Benson.
That sounds familiar.
She's from Pretty Little Liars.
Oh, I know who she is. Yeah, she plays Hannah.
Maggie mm-hmm. Grace.
Nope.
Jamie Chung.
Wait, Maggie Grace is the daughter from Taken? Is she?
I don't know.
I think.
And that's the thing.
Can I get a fact
check? If you don't...
I'm working on it.
But if you don't know, that's the whole thing. You need to know immediately who they are.
But wait a second. What is this proving? That Maxim is out of touch or that we're out of touch?
Yes.
Definitely Maxim.
Number 70, number 79, Hoda Kotb.
Yes.
Yay. She is hot.
No, she is not. Look at this picture. She doesn't look...
Hoda is fine. She's a... fine-looking woman. This
she's
is
a
not
handsome
a,
lady.
This is not a list that Hoda Kotb belongs on. 78 is Kesha.
I still think she's more
Kesha
valid than the number one.
No.
Fight.
77 is Janiha Gavankar. I can't even pronounce her name.
Janiha Gavankar.
No. Emma Roberts?
Yeah.
Okay.
She played Nancy Drew.
Natalie Martinez?
Nope.
Rachel Bilson at 74.
Yes.
Okay.
She's,
yeah, but she doesn't. She still looks so young. It seems creepy.
Catherine McPhee.
Yeah.
As long as she's not trying to act, she's
an
hot.
Idol, right?
She was.
Yep. Jessica Chastain.
Yeah.
Okay.
From the and a good actress.
Mm-hmm. Sarah Underwood. Exactly. Nina Agdal. Ragdai?
Nope.
Number 69, Manti Te'o's fake girlfriend.
That's ridiculous.
Really?
Yeah.
Like everyone.
So they threw a few in for humor. I'm thinking Hoda Kotb was there as well. So we'll skip ahead a little bit because I think we've sort of established you don't really get who people are.
Hey, look, Stacey Kubler's on the list.
Yvonne Strahovski from Chuck comes in at 46. She's way hotter than 46. I'm sorry. Julianne Hough comes in at 40. She should be much higher than that. Hayden Panettiere at 30. That's about right.
But she's cute.
But she is not hotter than Charlize Theron. Charlize Theron is still hotter than her, but they are 30 and 31.
Hoda Kotb is one of the first black women on the list. And I don't think there's that many more. So way to go, Maxim.
Yeah, I don't think she's in the top 40 hot black women, just saying.
Well, I mean this list, not that I'm necessarily surprised that it's not like a bastion of diversity, but really, you guys, you can't find. I'm up to number 26 looking ahead and I'm still seeing no other black women besides Kamala Harris.
Well, I'm getting yeah, well, thank the president for that one. Zoe Saldana's on there.
Okay, Rihanna's number 3. There we go.
So Ronda Rousey comes in at 29 because she's hot and she will kick your butt. Danielle Fishel from Boy Meets World at 27.
Oh, that chick.
Yeah, Christina Hendricks from Mad Men is at 22.
Oh,
yeah.
She'd be in my top 10.
She got
10.
Robbed. She's on my
she's
island.
So hot.
I would hit that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Insane.
Her boobs, I don't get it. I mean, they're just
amazing.
There's so much of them.
Yes.
Megan Fox barely cracks the top 20 this year.
Oh yeah,
at 20,
she's kind of played,
which is disappointing. So
she's married to David Silver from 90210. That has to affect her hotness quotient.
It could
taking it down a couple.
So here are your top 10. Alicia Cuthbert is number 10 from Happy Endings.
Her show was canceled too,
and the movie The Girl Next Door, and also
and
from 24, which is coming back. 24 is coming back this summer for 13 episodes on Fox. Number 9 is Vanessa Hudgens. 8 is Kate Upton. 7 is Ashley Tisdale, who is way too high.
The Disney girls do really well in the top 10.
I think because everybody has fantasies about them from high school.
That's charming.
Number 6, Jennifer Love Hewitt and her boobs.
Still?
Yeah. Number 5, Jennifer Lawrence.
She's also kind of Disney girl, isn't she?
Oh, yeah. Jennifer Lawrence is, yeah, awesome.
She's hot.
Number 4, Mila Kunis.
Yeah.
She's cute, but I don't think she's number 4 hot.
Me either.
Here are your top 3. They're all singers. Rihanna at 3, Selena Gomez
who
at 2.
Who looks like a 9-year-old. Who, that's creepy.
Who,
Selena, shit.
Selena
yes.
Gomez?
Yeah, she looks really
good. I loved her song because I like cheesy pop stuff. I love the I Love You Like a Love song. Until I watched the video, and it's like a little girl playing dress up with creepy men looking at her. It's awful.
To be fair, she is 19 now, so she is perfectly legal in all 50 states.
Not even barely.
And no, not even barely. She's 19.
She's like over the hill.
And although this picture, the picture that I'm looking at could be from 2-3 years ago. You don't know. And the number one hottest woman in the world, according to Maxim magazine, Miley Cyrus.
She's not.
Wow. What?
Not even remotely.
How did they come up with this crap?
I don't know. I don't know. Beyonce.
Is she hot?
Beyonce came in at 14. Beyonce is hotter than... No, Miley Cyrus is not hot.
She's going through like an experimental phase right now, which I actually appreciate. Like, she's just the right age to get like unflattering haircuts and stomp around in boots and weird mismatched outfits and get engaged or maybe not engaged. Like, she's totally age appropriate, but I'm like... Maxim hot, that's a whole different kind of cheerleader oiled bikini kind of hot, and that's not really her.
All right, well,
you're here.
I just got a text from Mr. Greenwood from Ben and Jerry, so we're gonna call him right now.
Ooh.
Picked a good time.
Speaking of scoops, no, I don't.
Yeah,
hot.
Sure.
I there's no segue.
No, I'm just gonna listen to the phone ring.
Does this mean we don't get ice cream?
It's like disco music.
It's in the freezer. We can eat it whether he answers or not.
We really need to. Becca's been looking forward to ice cream for days.
Hello, it's Sean.
Sean, it's Nate and Ted and Becca and Christiana.
Hi.
Hello.
You're on the show.
Wait a minute. Four.
There's been a lot of changes since the last time you were on.
This is like 30% more fun.
Something like that.
That's me.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's Becca. She's the 30% more.
It is. It's a lot more fun. So thanks for joining us.
Becca, you don't want to wear a t-shirt around town with that. That's all I'm going to say.
30% more fun, y'all.
No.
Hello, men.
That's the shirt right there.
Or women. I mean,
oh, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Come on.
So, Sean, you are with Ben and Jerry's. I love your title. I don't know if it's your official title, your unofficial title, but tell people what people your job is.
Oh, yeah, it says it on my business card. It says Grand Poobah.
Ooh, a poobah.
It's like, I tell my mom it's a 4-year degree, so that works.
So do you start as a poobah and then kind of get elevated to Grand Poobah, or is it just a full push into the Grand Poobah?
You know, I began, I inherited the Grand Poobah ship from the previous Grand Poobah, who he passed along the title by secret handshake.
Ooh.
I had no idea. But he passed it along, and that was it. He's like, yeah, that's it, you're in, you're the guy, go.
Wow.
Now for...
Yeah, it was a tremendous burden to carry, you can all imagine. That and the benefit of having to take home 3 free pints of ice cream every day. It's just crushing.
3 every day? Wow.
Yeah.
We also have a company gym on site to sort of balance out 3 pints a day.
What's your favorite? Which pints do you pick?
You know, Cherry Garcia is kind of my classic favorite. Mm. It is our best seller, so it feels a little bit of a weasel answer to say that way. I have been getting into our new... Greek frozen yogurts we've been doing the last couple of years are, you know, more protein and less fat. So if you're going to eat 3 pints a night, it's probably the alternative. And awesome. The banana peanut butter one there has been my favorite Greek.
Oh, I didn't know that was a thing.
So the Greek frozen yogurt, the new flavor is called Liz Lemon, correct?
Yeah, the brand newest Liz Lemon we added in. We had we did the launch in New York City on the finale evening of the last series finale of 30 Rock.
Now you've gotten to meet a lot of people with the show and in show business with different flavors. Jimmy Fallon, who's going to be bumping up to the Tonight Show soon, has the late night snack.
Yeah, that's right. He's a good guy.
And Stephen Colbert, the Americone Dream, which is I have a pint of that in my freezer right now.
Have you met all these
nice.
People?
I'm lucky to get to work with them on stuff. So I was just down at Colbert's office, 2-3 weeks ago. If anyone saw the bit with President Clinton that they taped about learning to tweet. I'm down in the city every 6 weeks or so and try to stop by and scoop ice cream for our pals at the Colbert office. They're really great people. They're really not show businessy at all. They're very down to earth and And so I go in. Usually when I go in, there's like, you know, interns running around on the first floor, and they have the kitchen right behind it where I usually set up and scoop, and there's usually a dozen staff that I know up kind of the front part. And no one was around. I was like, what's going on? And they end up, I walk in, the security guard goes, well, Bill Clinton's coming to tape this piece this afternoon. So, you know, my pal Meredith, who's a producer there, was like, yeah, if you want to come jump to the studio and watch Stephen tape this piece with Bill Clinton. So the greatest thing is, you know, they walk in, there's Bill Clinton, who still looks like $1 million. Colbert walks in with him, and the producer is putting the thing together. There's probably like 30 people roaming around the studio. The producer of the segment goes, all right, everyone else sit down. You know, so there's just Clinton and Colbert. And so they're kind of running over their bit, and what, I'm going to say this, you're going to say that. And then they're like, okay, it's like 10 seconds to film time. Quiet on the set. So everyone's like, you know, it's hush, and it's like, it's, you know, tension. And so Colbert then like leans over and says loud enough for everyone to hear, Mr. President, no pressure, but when we just taped, you know, a bit with Obama, he did it in one take. He drops it on him. Like, the guy's the president. Like, how do you do that? You know, and it's just classic Colbert. And then the other funny thing was Tom Brokaw was there to interview Clinton for, like, a separate show, I think. I don't think it was even on the Colbert show. But Colbert breaks into a Brokaw impression, starts going, you know, like, President Clinton, I know we got to finish quick because you have an interview with Tom Brokaw. And then he totally breaks in, which I couldn't do justice, but he starts, you know, like, so, President Clinton, we're going to have to interview mm-hmm. you this evening. And he starts doing, like, this dead spot on Brokaw impression. And then you hear Brokaw from the sidelines yells up, like, hey, Colbert, this is going to be hard enough tonight. When I do a Brokaw, it sounds like Dr. Evil. So My version is not so good, but you know those guys, they're brilliant. There's a reason why they're doing what they're doing. Whether it's Colbert and you know, Jimmy Fallon was just a great guy to work with for putting together his flavor, and just super nice cat. And when you hear, you know, these guys that get the chance to go like move up to the Tonight Show, you just feel like you know, not only do they deserve it, but for people who are that you know, that good of people, you feel good that they're the ones that are getting it.
So yeah,
I've never been so jealous of somebody's job in my life than I am right now.
Oh. Okay,
30% more fun. That's what my.
let's make it a little bit worse for them, Sean. What is your hobby? Just because this is a whole new cast on the show, so they don't know you the way Mel and Larry did. What is your hobby that you do in your spare time, especially in the summertime in Vermont?
My I think I know the hobby you're talking about. You're not. I was working on a new 1990 motorcycle today, a sport bike, but that isn't what you're. I think you're talking about hot air ballooning.
Yes.
Ooh.
Right. Yeah.
It's a happy man with ice cream and a hot air balloon. Yeah. My life is meaningless and dark. Nice,
So yeah,
I have a nice little Cameron C80 hot air balloon. So it's a 80,000 cubic feet. You know, it's like owning a boat. Like, when you have it, you go, yeah, I'll go every weekend. Oh, yeah, we're going. And then the weekend comes, and you got 5,000 other things that happen. So you never get to go as much as you want to. But it's a great sport, and it's a great way to see. You know, Vermont is, in the summer, is lovely. In the winter, you can actually fly. In the winter, it's kind of cool because you can fly longer than you can in the summer because you don't need to burn as much fuel. And in the fall, the most spectacular place in the world is right here. If you've never been to Vermont, see the colors, the foliage is, and Nate will tell you, you know, you grow up with that. You think you'd get bored with it, but it is spectacular.
It is quite something when you get like a really nice bright fall, and when, if you don't get the weird weather where you get like a huge rainstorm and then the wind and it just blows all the leaves away, it's awesome. So
yeah. Exactly. And usually you get a good 2, 3, 4 weeks in there of stuff kind of clinging on. It's still kind of nice and warm during the day and gets cool at night. And it's just a gorgeous way. You get up above all that 500,000 feet and you're looking down at these colors. It's just God's country. Just a beautiful place.
Field trip.
And mm-hmm. Sean and I actually went to high school together, for anybody who's new to the show. So he was a couple years ahead of me. So we came out of a now closed Sacred Heart High School.
We had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, well, they closed after I left, at least the high school part. Now the whole thing is boarded up. It's just really sad. I went back.
It's
like
a good sign when guys like us went to a private Catholic high school in some of the nuns who were there teaching stopped being nuns because of us.
Yeah, we ruined them.
Oh, no.
Really?
Yeah, sure.
No, why not?
Wait, in what way did they quit being nuns?
Right.
Is this like you were terrible? Or?
Yeah, like, well, how bad could we be? We broke a nun. Like, that's terrible.
Yeah.
They take lifelong vows to service, and they're like, these kids wore me out. Forget it. I'm out.
If your high school had an ice cream flavor, what would it be called?
Ooh.
Ooh. Gosh, if our ice cream, you know, I'm saying Northeast Vermont, it probably would have maple in it because that's pretty prevalent up there. And then probably cigarette butts and whiskey.
Yeah.
it would have a hint of a hint of beer smell too to it.
I was going to say beer, definitely. We were more into, you know, chugging a beer or two in high school. That was our go-to.
I'm actually enjoying a beer right now. So back to Ben and Jerry's real quick. One of the things I wanted to talk about a little bit, because my show is, I have Dirty Hippies on the show, and Ben and Jerry's, founded by Dirty Hippies, the social mission, I'm reading this right off the website. The social mission is to operate the company in a way that actively recognizes the central role that business plays in society by initiating innovative ways to improve the quality of life locally, nationally, and internationally. And I think that's pretty damn cool.
Ice cream,
you know,
we try
to do good stuff. We're not perfect. We got our problems like any other company, but we try to do the right thing. I tell you, it makes my job a lot easier when you're doing PR for a company, when they try to do the right thing, because even when you screw up, and we do, you go to people and you go, you know what, we screwed up. We just did this thing, and it didn't work out the way we wanted, and we're sorry. But that's not the way we usually roll. And people go, yeah, fine. We know you guys usually are trying to do the right thing.
I think it's also a testament to the parent company, Unilever, because there was a big wonderment when Ben and Jerry's sold out to this big multinational company. Oh, that's going to be the end of Ben and Jerry's as we know it. They're being bought by Unilever. They're going to be making their ice cream in a factory in New Jersey or something like that. And they pretty much left you guys alone to carry on in sort of a business way the way you always did, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's always time when you have something like that. So, you know, and I should set the record straight in terms of there wasn't a selling out per se. It was a takeover. Like,
okay.
It was not a question of do we have a you know, at the time, and it's public and go back and look at the records, that Jerry and Ben said, yeah, we don't really want to sell. We'd rather keep this small and private. But at the time, there was such a majority of the shares were owned by people who were investors saying, I want to make more money on this investment. You know, I'd rather, like, legally you have to consider any offers that way. So it was an acquisition that way. So it wasn't that the guys wanted to grow any bigger. They kind of wanted to keep it just the little engine that could. But that's, you know, what happened has happened, and where we're at today is definitely the, you know, the best that we've had our relationship with our parent company. And I agree with you, Nate, that they've done a fairly decent job to be able to say, look, you guys, we want you to keep doing stuff the way you are doing it, so we don't want to get in your way that much. You know, we try to live up to our end of the bargain. And the one thing that most people aren't aware of is, you know, Unilever has hundreds and hundreds of businesses. They're this huge, huge organization. And Ben & Jerry's is the one business that negotiated upon the acquisition as part of the agreement that we would establish an independent board of directors for our company. So it's made up of a lot of folks who are the board of directors before Unilever was around. And the board of directors' job is to, you know, make sure that our commitment to both, you know, our product and the social mission continue in perpetuity throughout the life of the company. So that way, instead of it just being, you know, Unilever is responsible for the business side, but we're responsible for the social mission for the product. And as you read through that, you know, the definition that you did, you see that the social mission is basically we try to involve it with everything that we do. So it's really this tremendous opportunity for us to continue to grow Ben & Jerry's the way that we want to operate Ben & Jerry's, with values, and bring it to, you know, we've kind of doubled the parts of, we're up to 34, 35 countries that we're in now that we have found a lot easier to grow that way and move into some of those areas because of being part of Unilever.
And you were just in the UK last week.
Yeah, well, it's over there with our meeting up with our brand champs. We've got, we've got 16 countries or so over there that we're in. UK is definitely our second biggest market. And they're doing this great program. They're actually just sifting through final entries called Join Our Core. They have, if you've ever had our Caramel Sutra flavor, it's called a core concoction because there's a kind of core of caramel right down the middle of it. So in the UK, they have Caramel Sutra and two other flavors. Peanut Butter Me Up is one. It's like a peanut butter and jelly flavor, and then they have a white chocolate one called Berry White, which has berry in the middle. And so the three core lines that they had last year, they wanted to do a social program kind of to support those. So, they're struggling with their economy just like the rest of the world is, and so they went out and said, we want to try to support the next, Ben and Jerry's business of young entrepreneurs who are looking to do something better in the world, not nonprofits, but just to do better with your business. So last year we brought, I think they had somewhere around like 100 folks that had applied. We brought 20 finalists to this really cool Dragon's Den studio in the UK and had a panel set up. Jerry was one of them, and had a bunch of other folks that are kind of progressive business leaders. Listen to all these ideas from these finalists and from, I think it was a dozen different European countries last year. And so this year they're doing it again called Join Our Core, where when I was meeting with those folks last week, they said they're up to over 400 applications this year. And it's the same thing for folks who are saying, I want to develop a cool company. So where we met when I was there last week, we met at one business called Hackney Pirates. And Hackney Pirates develops like an after-school program for kids like 8 to 12 years old to give them a place to come in. There's rules that kind of, say, we're the pirates, we live by the pirate code, but the whole thing is like an after-school program that's all about them getting this cool opportunity to learn how to read, write, hang out, be productive. They do music, they do shows. It's just amazing stuff, so these real progressive kind of entrepreneurial folks who are trying to come up with better ways to have a business and take care of their society around them at the same time. Another one called Rubies in the Rubble was taking like used fruit and vegetables from restaurants and turning it into jam and other like veggie spreads and stuff like that. Instead of wasting the stuff, being able to go out and feed folks with it, and then employed folks who didn't have a job to be able to hold down some employment. So, real progressive way that you can go out and try to support the community with your business at the same time. So that's what we were there, kind of a big chunk of what we were talking about last week. And they're getting ready. This year's Join Our Core finalists, the kind of handful of finalists that win, are going to be flown over here to Vermont to kind of have a week at Ben and Jerry's headquarters for us to share with them how we do what we do. And we're looking forward, because you always get as much inspiration out of those folks who kind of come to learn about what it is that Ben and Jerry's does.
Very cool. Now, before I let you go, Becca is a vegan. So there's kind of a problem if you're vegan, but you'd really like Ben and Jerry's, because I don't believe there's any sort of vegan ice cream or yogurt or anything. Is that something that maybe you can whisper in somebody's ear at the offices? Go, hey, what about the vegans?
What if Becca needs more? She's trying to go from 30 to maybe 33 or 35% more fun. the vegan cows, there's not many of them around, even in little progressive Vermont. But what we do have, which should be available on the shelves in your supermarkets, is sorbet.
Okay.
So, our Ben & Jerry's sorbet is just fruit and sugar and water. And so, as long as you're okay with eating those screaming mangoes and berries and that kind of stuff, you are very comfortable with choking down a pint of that anytime. So take a look, especially, the bigger supermarkets like a Safeway or something like that has like 20 different flavors. A lot of times they'll have at least a couple of different selections of our sorbet, and they also have them in the scoop shops too, so that way you can get a little fix if you are trying to stay away from the dairy products.
Nice. I haven't eaten dairy in more than 15 years, and I still remember the exact taste of Cherry Garcia. It's so good.
Wow, that is impressive.
So good.
Yeah, we did a Cherry Garcia sorbet once in a while, but we don't have that one out now. But it's folks like that, when they're out there talking about what's important to them, it's kind of why part of the reason why we're doing this Greek yogurt stuff now, because so many folks are in the Greek industry is like $1.6 billion right now, and you go, look, when people know what they want, go out there and make it for them. So, I say keep speaking up for what you're looking for.
All right, Sean, we'll let you go. Thank you very much for taking some time out and talking to us here on the show.
any chance. Any chance of giving a shot, would love to.
And say hello for me to the receptionist there at Ben and Jerry's. I know she misses me.
Norma, she is she's one of the first employees I usually introduce when people come in and I say, you know, Ben and Jerry's has been around 35 years. This is Norma. She's been here 76 years.
She is indeed.
Sorry, I'll tell you today. Thanks for the call, Nate. We appreciate it. Always getting a chance to talk to you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sean. Have a good one. All right.
See you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Sean Greenwood from Ben and Jerry's, doing good things all around the world.
You know what I'm going to take away from that? Actually, the most interesting thing to me
was
that it never occurred to me that hot air balloons would have like model numbers. Like, oh, you got a CT-747 hot air balloon.
I know.
Obviously it makes sense there would be, but never occurred to me.
No, I was thinking the same. Like, yeah. Oh, you got a square wicker basket balloon. Yeah, I wouldn't
look at the curve on that thing. Right. Yeah.
That's what she said.
It's rattan. It's awesome.
So yeah, there is something vegan available for them.
For them. Yeah. And for the lactose intolerance of the world. It's not just the vegans making life difficult.
You know, that's the thing. I am a little bit lactose intolerant. Like I'll tell a story in the next show about how an In-N-Out burger milkshake nearly killed me.
Ooh.
Not literally, but figuratively nearly killed me. But the Ben & Jerry's I can eat. I just have to really keep it the amount down. You know, if I ate a pint of Ben & Jerry's, which isn't necessarily good for you, then I would be in trouble. But I can have a reasonable serving of it, and I'm fine. And I think that goes to, like, the quality of what you're eating.
I really should have had dinner before the show, because I'm so hungry right now.
We have ice cream.
We have ice cream in the freezer. We just can't go get it, because we're all strapped to our mics.
Yeah. Everybody together. Pick up the table, just like...
or we could just do this.
The Nate Darling Show. Cool.
Cool like ice cream?
Or tool.
Tool like a tool, like a spoon that you use to dig up ice cream.
All right. First up in cooler tool, Abercrombie. Christiana.
Wow, tool.
Becca.
Tool.
Ted.
Oh, what a tool.
Yeah, he's kind of a tool.
I mean, you can't.
Yeah.
You could.
Yeah, I almost did, because it's good to know your audience and know how to try and reach them, but wow. Here's what you do when you're going to do something like that. You just change the sizes on them. Go, yeah, we carry up to a size 16, but you resize it so it's actually really only like a size 10.
Oh, no, because if someone who's used to being a size 10 fits in a size 16, they'll cry and they'll never shop there again.
Which is good.
Okay, fair point. This is why I'm not a lady.
That's why.
That's the reason. That Y chromosome.
Yeah.
Next in cooler tool, Pat Robertson. Ted?
Oh, you know, ever since his D&D ran, he's a tool. And the gay thing I'm okay about, but D&D, you don't mess with it, dude.
Becca.
You know.
Tool.
Christiana.
Tool.
You know, I'm going to go cool, because I like it when anybody stands up for free speech.
Nothing was a threat to free speech. The marketplace of ideas means that some bad ideas will get drowned out by the good ideas.
Like that.
And his bad idea will get drowned out by the good ideas, but he's allowed to have it. So
you think he's cool is what you're saying.
Nate, your opinion is a hate crime.
He was, like, Pat Robertson was saying that it was defending the free speech of the, you know, of somebody else saying it wasn't a hate crime. But this whole thing about, like, that we have to let or say, I appreciate you for espousing this completely horrid viewpoint, that's not the point.
Well, I have to do it.
It means the Congress can't tell you can't say it.
Well,
I can tell you you're a jerk.
I have to. Well, people,
not you, Pat Robertson.
Well, sure, but there are plenty of really conservative people who would say the same about all of your viewpoints
and yours.
Yeah, and that's fine. Yeah. They can say it.
And finally, in cooler tool, Maxim magazine for putting Hoda Kotb and Kamala Harris on their Hot 100 list. Christiana.
It's cool that they did that. The rest of their list is stupid.
Nah.
Becca.
Ditto.
Ted.
Oh, man. I hate being following like a sheep, but it is cool. Good to expand it all.
No, yeah. It's not.
Yes, it is.
If you're going to make a list of hot women, make a list of hot women and make them the hot women. And Miley Cyrus is not okay at number one at all. Not at all. Eva Mendez is like 40-something. What is wrong with you, Maxim Magazine? You're disappointing men for at least the past 2 years now.
It's free speech.
Shun. I shun Maxim Magazine and their list.
But don't you Miley get it for Cyrus. Free? You can't shun it. It just shows up in your mailbox.
I know. That's the problem. That's the problem. It's like people canvassing for votes.
So you take issue with them putting Kamala Harris on their list?
Well, I take issue with them making that list as such and putting those women on, because those women, I mean, the president got completely skewered for saying that she was the best looking attorney general because we can't look at her that way because she's blah, 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 blah. And then we put her on the list and that's cool. No, it's not. It's not cool. It's not cool at all.
That's interesting.
Well, I don't think it's cool if they did it to mock them.
Well, and I don't know that they did. I mean, obviously, Manti Te'o's fake girlfriend is sort of a wink and a nod. But, I mean, come on. Zooey Deschanel sitting around at 93?
Yeah, I disagree with that.
Well, the
She's
list
fantastic.
Itself is one thing, but you're asking about these particular people on the list.
Yeah,
curious.
They don't belong on the list.
Okay.
Sorry.
Got it. That's right.
They are not the people that should be on the list.
Okay.
I want to know, but I think we should expand the definition of hotness. I think Maxim's definition of hotness is very narrow, and the world is wide.
Is it
that lots of people find a lot of
the
things
hips
hot.
Of a Disney star?
How is it narrow if they've got Hoda Kotb on the same list as Miley Cyrus?
Well, if they're doing it as a joke, that's a problem because the list isn't full of other people like Hoda Kotb. If they're doing it as a joke, they're assholes. I mean, they're Maxim. You guys, obviously, they're assholes.
Yeah, good point.
All right.
But are they Abercrombie level assholes?
So good news out of Cleveland this week. Three longtime missing women, Amanda Berry, Gina DeJesus, and Michelle Knight, have been found alive. They were kidnapped and held for years as prisoners inside a house on Cleveland's near west side. Berry called police last week and frantically told this dispatcher that she was alive and free after being kidnapped 10 years ago and held captive in a house on Seymour Avenue. We've confirmed it's them, a Cleveland detective said. They're alive and safe. And we've all heard from, you know, from here and there what happened. It was a one guy, his two brothers. I don't know if they live there. It's kind of a weird story. But they were originally arrested, and the two brothers
are...
Yeah,
that's the part I don't get yet.
And the two brothers are free, but apparently cooperating with the police in this investigation. This is happening way more often than it used to, where you would see people that were kidnapped and popping back. Elizabeth Smart.
Four times.
In Utah. Of course, J.C. Dugard. And what was the other one, if you're going four times?
Oh, well, I guess five. Well, I was counting each of the people individually.
Oh, okay. So
there was a couple of cases with there was a case with a young boy that ultimately ended pretty badly.
Right.
Yeah.
So
he
yeah,
killed himself when he got
10 years of just being kidnapped and held in a house. So just weird and awful stuff. But what came out of the story was the man who helped Amanda Berry escaped the house because he lived next door and he heard her kicking and screaming and trying to pry open the door. He and another neighbor went over, but he speaks in a certain way, which caused a lot of people to get very excited about him. So let's take a listen to what he sounds like.
Hey, Charles, let me talk to you. I'm talking with Charles Ramsey. He's a neighbor. Walk me through again what happened this afternoon. You heard screaming.
Heard screaming. I meet my McDonald's. I come outside. I see this girl going nuts trying to get out of a house. So I go on the porch. Okay. I go on the porch and she says, help me get out. I've been in here a long time. So, you know, I figured it's a domestic violence dispute. So I open the door and we can't get in that way because how the door is, it's so much that a body can't fit through, only your hand. So we kick the bottom and she comes out with the little girl and she says, call 911. My name was Amanda Berry.
Now, did you know who that was when she said that?
When she told me, it didn't register until I got to call the 911. And I'm like, I'm calling the 911 for Amanda Berry? I thought this girl was dead. You know what I mean? And she got on the phone and she said, yes, this is me. And the detective, Cook, right here, Detective Gregory Cook says, Charles, do you know who you rescued? I said.
Now, and when did you see Gina?
About
good.
So yeah, he's a very colorful character. So people cut the interview up because he speaks in that certain way, and it was put all over Facebook and everywhere else.
I'm just to say, I don't think anything was particularly innovative about the way he spoke personally.
No.
I mean, I can tell he's African American.
But
all.
There was a lot of it was reminiscent of Sweet Brown with the "Ain't nobody got time for that."
Yeah, at the end of the interview, he makes a comment about
that's the best part.
Best part is at the end.
Okay, I missed
let's
it.
Let's skip ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay,
when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms, something is wrong here. Dead giveaway. Dead
Charles,
giveaway.
Charles, thank you very
dead
much.
Dead giveaway.
Thank you very much for your time. And
either she homeless or she got problems. That's the only reason why she run to a black man.
Oh, no.
Charles, thank you.
Okay.
Thank
white reporter's like, that's awkward. I got to get out of here.
So they songified it and everything.
Okay, I had not actually heard it till now.
So incredibly racist he is.
Yeah, that's
anyway,
racist.
So,
wait, what's racist?
Well, she's just assuming that a white woman would never run to a black man. That's kind of racist, isn't it? If I said that, I'd be called a racist.
I think he was being somewhat hyperbolic to a true effect of...
Like the chamber?
A comment on race relations and... Yeah,
I highly doubt that he was being hyperbolic.
No, I think he... Now that's worse. I think he was...
Being ironic?
He was making a joke about it, but I think that it is... I think it's intellectually dishonest to imply that, you know, that there's not a lot of truisms there. That women don't, like, clutch their purses in the bus when a black man gets on.
It probably doesn't happen in his neighborhood that often.
Midtown, various levels of racism happen everywhere. I know I'm on the, we have, like, a community mailing list in my neighborhood. And the number of comments about, I think people were casing the neighborhood because there was a car with two black men driving slowly down the street.
Oh, really?
Maybe they're looking for, I don't know, maybe they're looking for addresses. Who knows what they're looking for? But they can't always be trolling to steal something.
Right.
Because there's not a lot of theft in the neighborhood.
Sure. And you're overlooking the obvious Hispanic men that are cruising the neighborhood looking to rob everybody.
Right.
If you're doing that. So that all came out. Everybody went nuts on Facebook. That was everywhere. People were basically ignoring the story that three women were rescued after 10 years. And they were all like, listen to him. He sounds great. And so the next day, the smoking gun, you can't grab the mic stand like that. That just sounds terrible. Sorry. I'm just hearing this.
I'm fidgety. Y'all.
I know.
It's the ice cream in the fridge.
I know. I was promised ice cream.
So the next day, you brought ice cream. You could have
it
between the shows.
And it's far.
We're
almost done with this.
Tantalus.
Okay.
So the next day, the smoking gun looks into his past, as did one of the local TV stations. Turns out that our hero is a repeat domestic abuser. Not once, but twice. And he's actually, he had a domestic violence charge in February of 1997, pled no contest. A year later, was found guilty of the count by a Cleveland Municipal Court judge. While waiting to be sentenced, he was again arrested for domestic violence against his now ex-wife. They're apparently in a place of peace with each other. But at the time, one of the things that she wrote in her report was, "My husband is trying to kill me." Now, I put this article on Facebook, and literally, like throwing chum in the water. The people were like, how dare you put that up there? How dare you look that? But what does that have to do with anything at all? And I would say that you're not just a product of the last thing you did, but you're a product of everything you did. And the fact that he's going in the right direction. I will give him that. Absolutely. But you just can't go, well, he did pull open a door for a lady once, so beating his wife twice, that's okay. We got to go look past that. I mean... Am I just a complete asshole here?
Well, no.
It's not one or the other. It's a combination of things, Nate.
Well, and that, yeah.
You're an asshole. I'm just kidding.
the thing is, though, this guy, I mean, this article came out so fast. He just helped somebody and then got interviewed. Like, it wasn't like he was like, I'm a great person. I want, you know, celebrity or I want whatever. And it's like, he helped someone. He got interviewed. It turned into a meme. And then everybody, like, made his, like, worst crime super public. And... I don't know. He was just acting on an impulse and helping somebody, and he did a nice thing. And I don't know. I think it kind of sucks that we have to just like put people up on pedestals and then like vilify them when they maybe weren't even asking to be in the public eye at all.
No, but it doesn't erase the fact that he beat his wife not once but twice.
Well, yeah, that's really sad. And he also did something nice and. People are complicated.
I think there was a piece of an interview where he was asked about that, you know, and he said something about he's turning his life around and he has been hit. I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, this is my thing about like Chris Brown and all the shit he receives. I don't know if he's always going to be a woman beater or not. I don't know about, I mean, none of these people's stories are completely written yet, and I don't know at what point you say, oh, that's game over, this person's unredeemable. I don't know about that about this guy. Either. No, and I don't know if this, like, who knows, you know.
Yeah, it's
did just, he just do one good thing or did he just do one bad thing? We don't know shit about this guy and we're never going to.
No, we know he did at least one bad thing twice and we know he did one good thing once.
For three people, so does it count? Four, technically, if you count the kid.
Yeah, well, he did it for one person.
Is it karmically balanced?
Does it karmically balance? Is it not? Is it wrong to point it out? The funny thing was the TV station that actually looked into his past originally, they put out, people were mad at them like they were mad at me for putting it on Facebook. You know what? You all put shit on Facebook all the time that pisses me off, so we're all even, so fuck off. I get tired of arguing with people. I just deleted the post. I'm like, fuck it. I'm tired of it. So the TV station does the story. People complain to them, and then they put out an apology, and they put it out on their Facebook page, too. And then people were mad at them for that apologizing pointed out that he beat his wife again.
Oh, God.
So they then got yelled at for apologizing. So guess what, people? I'm not apologizing. Screw y'all. That's what I say.
Here's my question. What is the benefit of us digging into his past and knowing that he did something bad? Do we have to know about it?
I think they were digging for bad stuff. I think they probably were just seeing, like, who the hell is this person? Because somebody was like, we need an article on this guy who saved these girls. Quick, go.
Yeah, always.
So you run a public record search and see what comes up.
Right. When you're doing your digging, I guarantee you they were hoping to find a long history of rescuing puppies and helping little old ladies. But they found something else. So the question is... And I ask you, as a reporter...
I'm being pointed at here.
But Becca, I'm a reporter, too.
Even though Ted's a reporter also.
But I am not a good reporter.
Well, no, you're
just kidding.
Well, it's okay. An unemployed reporter, but please, go ahead.
The question is the point here.
The question is, if you're looking into something in the past, and you are looking with a completely blank slate, and people think you should find something positive or say nothing, and you find something negative... Do you go with something negative just because that's what you found and it's the truth? Or do you go, well, everything's positive, so this is negative and people aren't going to want to hear it, so I'm not going to go with it at all? I mean, that's a dilemma to sort of think through.
I mean, if my assignment was write a bio about this person and crimes came up in the public record, I mean, yeah, that would probably be part of the reporting in a matter-of-fact sort of way. Yeah, I don't know.
If I could interview him about it and find, I don't know, just find out. I mean, I'm not saying there's any rational explanation for doing the kind of things that he may have done, that he did, apparently. I don't know. I'd say at least.
Well, it would make a difference if he since then had dedicated to, like, he volunteers for 30 hours a week at the local, like, women's shelter he runs a men's group any of that stuff. There could be. Context to it that you need.
Yeah, the context helps. Like, oh, he's a wife beater, but okay, he did that once and he was having a problem, but he's overcome drinking and has, you know, turned his life around, then that's worth knowing. But
and she learned to listen and it stopped.
I mean, I think it depends, like what Becca said, not that I'm a journalist. I was in school, does it count?
But you went to that
school. I was a fucking editor, goddammit.
You went to Abercrombie.
The editor. School. Not there. I would think it matter like what the assignment is, you know. And then at a certain point, if it's in a larger story about the kidnapping, what this guy did other than rescuing her is not really important.
Agreed.
So.
Right, but if you're doing the follow-up story,
they were hoping for a hero story. I saw there was an interesting piece about sort of the racial aspect of the story, and you know, the people auto-tuning his comments and whatever else, and saying that this is what, you know. This is not the first time sort of the media has picked a person to, you know, save them and then fucked up their lives more, highlighted the bad things. There was that Golden Voice radio guy, you know, who was panhandling on the side of the road.
Ted Williams.
And he had a shit ton of problems and they all got aggravated by this and, you know, things didn't go well for him after the fact.
Well, to be fair, Ted Williams also got a bunch of opportunity from that.
Right.
He just wasn't apparently mentally in a place where he could handle that.
Right.
You know, he got a soup voiceover work. So he actually got commercial voiceover work that he was going to get paid for. He went on the Today Show because apparently virtually anything will get you on the Today Show, whether it's swearing at your first TV job or being a homeless guy with a really good voice.
But it's trying to make, like, we want this guy to have a good narrative. We want these people to do something. And then if they fail at that, or there's something in the background. Somehow we feel cheated because in the 24 hours in which we've known this guy, he needs to be flawless because he did a good thing. Rather than the fact that pretty much everybody in the entire world is both an asshole and a good person mm-hmm. at some point during their life.
Yeah, even Hitler had his moments. No? Okay.
Which moment was that?
Pol Pot?
If only
no.
he had sold some paintings. Who knows?
No, it's true. Yeah. It's true. He did try his hand at art. We're gonna.
But only because Hitler lost and his life cycle was completed did we get to like say that, you know, he's a terrible person because history, the right side of history won there.
Right. I mean, but
if
again.
If he had won the war, there would have been like, well, he had this blip in his past.
Yeah, everybody mm-hmm. would have to drive Volkswagens. It would be terrible. We're going to drop Florida Corner this week because the show's running long. Sorry.
Oh, no.
No.
It's okay. We're in Florida.
The humidity would have been bad for my hair.
We promised Lindsay Lohan's story, and she is determined to leave the Betty Ford Center for greener pastures, but prosecutors apparently are having none of it. TMZ broke the story. Betty Ford doctors have cut Lindsay off from Adderall, which she has always said was the deal breaker. Sources connected to her tell TMZ that she is going crazy and is desperate to move to another facility. Apparently, she has researched other places where she can be in rehab and found one on the West Coast, which she believes is suitable to complete her 90 days, and she wants to move ASAP. She is saying she believes Betty Ford is, quote, old school and not sensitive to the problems of young people. No, they are.
They don't know the new drugs.
Yeah.
They only know old style addiction, like to highballs and old fashions and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not Red Bull.
Pet pills.
And here's the thing, Lindsay Lohan, and I feel for you, I do, but
you
are being mandated to do rehab rather than jail time, so suck it up and deal.
She hasn't hit bottom yet. I don't really think she's ready for change.
You don't think? Well, then maybe jail's the place for her.
Didn't she have an attorney defend her from New York so she could go to New York and do her treatment?
Mm-hmm. But it turns out there were no facilities that satisfied those terms.
But I just don't know why she wanted to have New York as her place in the first place. If I don't, all right, whatever.
Because she felt she'd be away from it. She's weird. She feels like if I'm not in LA and I'm not in Southern California, then this judge won't have sway over me.
Oh,
that's crap. Okay. So
wasn't it a New York based defense?
No, it was not.
You can't just end up in.
No.
Was it a federal charge?
No, it was not.
How the fuck did she end up in New York court then?
She has a. No, she wasn't in a New York court. She had a lawyer from New York State came in and said, oh, there's a facility in New York because she has a residence there too. So, Lindsay, not having good things. You know who else isn't having a good week? Paula White from BBC Radio. Well, Paula was having her last show, and she was a little tipsy.
What? Oh.
For the last time on this show, let's say you pick the music. Oh, yeah. Played that for me dad when he was 60 at Riley's, which is now a co-op at the top of Small Sword.
To be fair, that's how they all talk most of the time.
Rich and Talk says, Paul, you sound drunk. I'm not drunk. I've had a couple of drinks. I'm not drunk.
Of course you are.
I can stop any time.
I'm sad. No, but that's not working either. Oh, it's my last day and nothing's working. Why is nothing working?
Because you're drunk.
Let's try this, shall we?
Wow.
Oh, what a perfect day.
Perfect day by various artists. Obviously, it's 25 minutes to two. Good afternoon. Unfortunately, Paul is not feeling quite well, so.
I hate that. Even you all have those conversations where you're like, oh, I'm trying so hard to sound sober right now.
Right.
I'm sure it's totally working.
Oh, yeah. That's so embarrassing.
Oh, you know her colleagues probably took her out for like a goodbye lunch and plied her with drinks. And
was
yeah.
she getting fired anyway? Is that what she was drinking?
I don't know why it was her last day, but.
We should Skype with Rob right now because he's got jet lag and he's awake. We should have called a.
Maybe next show.
Next show.
Maybe next show we can do that.
Dial him up.
We'll see how that goes, but but yes. Before, because we haven't mentioned this yet during the show, we'd like you to support the show, and we love that you listen, but we'd really love it if you'd tell a friend about us, because the show's free and we're fun.
Or your mom.
You tell your mom, too.
I don't know. I told my mom
If your mom's down for it, then sure. We like moms.
Don't tell my mom, you guys.
So we found out that Ted's aunt is a listener to the show.
Hi, Ted's aunt.
Yes,
hi, Auntie Bobby. What's up?
And so his mom wanted to listen to the show, so he was going to send her a link, and he was picking the shows, and the one that he picked was the one that's titled Becca Says the F Word. And I was like, can we just start with a different one just to ease your mom in, you know?
Full disclosure, Becca and I are dating. That's why it's relevant.
Did people not know that?
Well, we have a new listener today. I don't know.
Oh. We should state that every week, like last time on the Nate Darling Show.
Well, the last time we had Sean on the show was it was actually quite some time ago. There were completely different hosts here. There was a high-pitched gay man sitting where Ted is, and there was a loud Jewish girl sitting where Christiana is.
I know. Did you notice you said the word Kesha today, and everyone was like, oh. Yeah. It's like so different from the last cast.
Yeah, no one went, oh my God!
We missed your, sorry, you were talking about something, buying stuff.
Yeah, if you're going to buy stuff on Amazon anyway, please go to NateDarlingShow.com first. Click the Shop Amazon tab. It helps support the show. Doesn't cost you one thin dime extra, and it does help us do things like buy new microphones, like this one.
I just
one.
Bought something today, and it was so easy.
Yeah, my dad, who is 69 years old, is able to do this. He didn't... Like 5-6 years ago, he'd never used the computer, and he does his shopping on Amazon that way. It is so simple. Anybody can do it. It doesn't cost you anything extra.
Can my mom do it?
Your mom could do it. Would love it if your mom did it, and your Auntie Bobby, too.
Oh, hi, Bobby.
Hi, everybody's mom and dad and aunts.
Yeah.
Belated Mother's Day. I don't know.
It's a family show, you guys.
Nate, does your dad listen to the show?
He does occasionally. He'll pop it on, but he instead of, it's really weird because he doesn't say, oh yeah, I was listening to your show. He'll go, well, I was sitting around, my dad tells stories the way Herman Melville writes. They're all very detailed.
And about whales?
They could be.
Okay.
He goes, well, I was listening to the Nate Darling Show. It's like, you could just say I was listening to your show. You didn't really have to be that. I don't have that many shows going
it
now.
It does sound fancy, though. I would say it on like...
I know.
Wow.
I know. If my son had a show with his name in the title, I think I would have to reference that a lot. Yeah.
That he did from his living room. For Father's Day, I'm going to get him a shirt so he can wear it around. He won't wear it, so I'm not going to do that.
Can you order that from Amazon.com?
No.
Can you brand all the cows with like the show thing?
You don't brand
cows. Just kidding.
Cows.
You don't brand cows?
Don't you brand cows?
No, you don't brand cows. What you do is you tattoo their ear with a number.
Oh, that's right. Pull and, tag.
Isn't it? Yeah. No, not a pull tag. It's a tattoo. It's actually... Oh. It's actually a W for Windsong Farm and then a 3-digit
That's
number.
That's the farm's name?
Mm-hmm.
That's super pretty.
Windsong?
Becca's torn right now. Do you tattoo?
My dad does, yeah.
He knows how to tattoo? Like, is it a real little tattoo gun or
some
kind of stamp?
It's sort of like a stamp. It's sort of like a pair of pliers. You put the number in there, you put it in the ear, and you squeeze down. It punches holes right through their ear, and then you put ink in.
Oh.
And then they don't have a hang tag, because hang tags can get caught on things.
Yeah.
And then they can rip out, so every now and then you'll see it. You'll see an animal with like a hole all the way through their ear.
Boo.
The tattoo.
We've all been there, ladies.
Yeah, the tattoo doesn't go away. So there you go. So that's it. So please help support the show. Tell a friend and shop Amazon through NateDarlingShow.com because that's the way we grow the show and do fine, spectacular things here.
The Nate Darling Show.
Welcome to our little town.
Small town news.
All right, small town news. We go to the great state of Maine, where a Bangor man with a criminal history was accused of stealing beer from a convenience store. A Bangor man was arrested late Tuesday after leaving a local convenience store with a case of beer he did not pay for.
That's what stealing means.
David Bilyeu, 48, tried to purchase beer from Tom T's store on Ohio Street shortly before 11 p.m. when his debit card was declined. Bilyeu, who was intoxicated, became upset and asked the clerk if he could just have the beer and left the store without the alcohol when she said no. A short time later, Bilyeu returned to the store, and when the clerk asked if he had the money to pay for the original case, he walked straight to the beer cooler, grabbed another case, told the clerk, I'll be back tomorrow to pay for this, and walked out.
Oh, no.
Did he come back?
He was gone by the time Officer Chris Blanchard responded, but Officer Derek LaFlynn spotted Bilyeu on Griffin Road, placed him under arrest, and charged him with the theft. Edwards said it's possible the charge could be elevated to a felony due to his prior convictions. According to court listings listed in the BDN, Bilyeu was sentenced in February 2011 to 18 months behind bars in connection with the December 2010 arrest. The archives also state that he has theft, terrorizing, obstructing the report of a crime, and aggravated criminal mischief convictions dating back to 2007.
Whoa.
That's right. So stealing a beer, it can in fact be a felony in Maine.
You know what stood out to me in that story? That his debit card was declined. Because I thought debit cards just let you go ahead and charge whatever you wanted and then do those like outrageous overdraft fees, you know, if you don't have enough money in your account.
No, it's weird. My debit card actually has been declined before. Sometimes with I have money in my account, which is like, what?
Embarrassing.
Boo.
It's irritating is what it is.
And then did you just grab the beer and run out?
I did. It was I grabbed a beer and I ran out and I said, I'll be back tomorrow with your money.
And they said, no way, criminal mischief since 2007. You're going in the slammer.
By the Jesus, I need this beer to have some more drunkenness.
Oh, sounds like he has a problem.
The party's not over yet because I need more beer.
Nah.
So anyway, that's Small Town News. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out.
Yeah.
Thank you to Sean Greenwood for Ben and Jerry's for joining us on the show.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, Sean's a good dude. And I was not expecting the Bill Clinton story, but there you go. I'm sorry, did the green monster of envy just pop up again?
Oh, Bill Clinton.
We're only 1 degree of separation away from the president now.
And
you
Tina
guys,
Fey, you guys, podcast. And Jimmy Fallon.
I know.
Whatever.
And Colbert.
Clinton, and Colbert. Hillary Clinton, more importantly, 2 degrees.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah. So Sean's a cool dude. And it's funny because in high school, they raised the drinking age from 18 to 21, but they grandfathered it.
Quaint Vermont.
Well, it was back when Reagan was threatening to take away all the highway money. Anyway, they raised the drinking age, and it was the year that Sean turned 18. So there were, and it was, if you were born before July 1st, then you could buy beer at 18 to 21. So those 3 years you were good. If your birthday was after the 1st of July, you couldn't. So there was one of Sean's best friends in high school, his birthday was the 2nd of July.
Oh, man.
So everybody else in the class could buy beer and drink and whatever, and his friend could not.
Oh, that's sad.
Oh.
Yeah, it was one of those weird things. You're like, we'll just grandfather. It'll be fine.
Thanks a lot, Reagan.
Yeah.
Jerk.
Yeah, blackmailing Reagan. Anyway, that'll do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Next time, we'll hear about the Bahamas and more. See you Friday.
I think I'm lazy. Always try to waste me and make me burn a candle right down. But to roll me. Keep on. got to roll.